Books on Tape presents I Need Your Love. Is That True? How to Stop Seeking Love, Approval, and Appreciation and Start Finding Them Instead. By Byron Katie. Written with Michael Katz. Read by Kimberly Farr. Forward by John Tarrant, author of Bring Me the Rhinoceros and Other Zen Koans to Bring You Joy. The interesting thing about Byron Kathleen Mitchell, yes, she really was named Byron at birth, Byron Kathleen Reed, is what she has discovered and has to teach about love. It's something extraordinary, and this book will show you how it's done. Once you see it, it's obvious and will change your life if you try it out. It works for me. Also, just so you don't think that she is different from other people in some special way that makes her capable of doing things you couldn't do, it might be good to learn something about her. That way you might be able to see that what she has to teach can work for others, especially you. Her life has been ordinary and difficult and successful and full of misjudgment and intelligence, just like most lives. When wise people return out of the desert in the old stories, they have lots of hair, are usually dressed in robes, which is what everyone wore in the desert, and they can't help speaking about what they have found out. In the United States, such wise people might look much more ordinary to us, have, say, big hair, long fingernails, and a background in real estate. Byron Kathleen Mitchell, everyone calls her Katie, has a background in real estate, and though she no longer has big hair and now wears Eileen Fisher clothes, she still can't help talking about what she discovered. She does actually come from the desert, from Barstow. That's the first thing in the creation myth of this discovery. Barstow is in the Mojave Desert in Southern California, the last stop before the long haul into Arizona. It has railway sidings and a nearby Air Force base and neat rows of houses where military personnel cultivate flowers in front yards in sight of the desert. The Mojave is bleak, even by desert standards. It lacks the whimsy of cactuses, yet becomes truly beautiful if you start to pay attention to it. If you take a walk with Katie there at sunset, the warm wind seems like a caress, and the rocks are subtle in their shades of brown and yellow and black and red, and the shadows are blue. She will lead you up canyons to places where hidden water drips, and you might begin to see the desert as kind and believe her when she says it was her teacher. Her story is hers, yet it is an every person's story. She was happy with three children and a husband who loved her and a business, and then she became unhappy. Gradually at first, and then all at once. She gained a lot of weight, she began to drink, she became angry and afraid, she slept with a revolver under her pillow. The revolver under the pillow is not as unusual in Barstow as it would be in San Francisco, yet it was disquieting to her family. She kept her business going, but was helpless in most other ways and felt deeply unworthy. So far, this is an ordinary sort of story, and an ordinary kind of pain, though severe. You wander along through life taking in the view until something hits you on the side of the head and gets your attention. The interesting part of the story usually starts at the moment you fall off your donkey, and so it does for Katie. Her crisis was profound and didn't seem to be resolving itself. It was a crisis of her whole being. Her family wondered if she was going mad. She checked herself into an eating disorder center because it was the only kind of treatment her health program would pay for. A nice practical American touch. This absurd idea turned out well. She just stopped everything for a while. But it wasn't a therapy or a treatment that helped. She just woke up one morning and the world turned over, and with it her heart did, too. She had been knocked off her donkey on the road to Damascus, and her life would never be the same. This was in 1986. It was one of those sudden, intense, and transforming experiences that happens for no good reason, and in Asia is called enlightenment. Suddenly, everything was turned around. Where before she was afraid and desperate, now she felt love and kindness in every moment. Everyone was astonished, especially her kids. They say that the difference was like night and day. They could tell immediately that they didn't have to be afraid anymore. Suddenly she was loving. She listened to them. She wasn't angry. She was delighted with their lives, and this helped them to become delighted too. But just what had changed? Katie made a really simple discovery. She noticed that she had been believing her thoughts and terrifying herself half to death with them. Then she stopped believing her thoughts, and the world stopped at the same time. The inner conflict and fear dropped away. Straight away, she felt deeply for others in the same plight and wanted to explain what she had seen. This feeling of connection and love was the beginning of a method to help others. Here it is in her words. I saw clearly, irrevocably, that everything was backward, upside down from what I believed. My thinking had opposed everything as it truly was and reacted with stories of how I thought it should be. My husband should be more honest. My children should respect me more. Now I saw that instead of seeing what was happening, I was placing conditions on what was happening, as if I had the ability to dictate reality. It was clear to me now that the truth was the extreme opposite. My husband should not be more honest, because he wasn't. My children shouldn't respect me more, because they didn't. Instantly, I became a lover of reality. I noticed that this felt more natural, more peaceful. And for the rest, how do you live when you are happy? Well, some things changed a lot. She lost weight, and her anger and sadness were gone. Other things don't look so unusual from the outside. She married again. She keeps in close contact with her kids, who do the usual, ordinary, and surprising things children do. Her daughter has a couple of children, and Katie tells the stories of being at their births. One of her sons likes to ride motocross bikes and produces interesting rock music in Los Angeles. Another is an electrician with three kids. Family life. Something that changed completely is Katie's work life. After her world stopped, she greeted the people she met with such freshness and presence that people in Barstow started to talk about a lady who was lit, as if she had a glow inside. They would start talking to her about what gave them pain, and she would bring them home, make them a meal or a cup of tea, and sit them down on the sofa. She would have them write down their troubling thoughts. Then she would introduce them to her questions, beginning with, "Honey, is that true?" Katie didn't tell anyone what to do or what to believe. They answered her questions for themselves. In turn, people's lives changed, some quickly, some slowly. From this intimate beginning, her teaching spread as she was invited to other places in California, and then the world. She has taught pretty much everywhere, from Osaka to Cape Town, taking in Jerusalem and San Quentin prison on the way. Thousands and thousands of people. People pass on what they have learned to their friends, and in this way her work spreads. Her method has remained pretty much the same, though now she doesn't get as much time to cook. She still calls people honey, and sometimes sweetheart, terms she uses comfortably as a mild blessing. What she does is to sit down with someone and have them write out the thoughts that give them pain. Then she asks her questions. Katie always starts with the thoughts a person has about others. Thoughts around love or approval or appreciation or admiration, the tangled feelings that people have for each other at work or at home. What happens in the human heart is the field of her wisdom and the place she brings kindness and clarity to. If enlightenment is an interesting thing to you, she has made it available without going to a monastery or into the desert. Her questions help integrate the natural wisdom we all have when we are not being chased around by fear and anger. Here's the way Katie herself describes her discovery. My life was like this fable. I walked into the Mojave Desert on a gorgeous day, minding my own business. Suddenly, oh my God, There's a big fat Mojave.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?